Culture.
Book Review. Love or Loathe Him? The Cult of Jordan Peterson. What the Canadian intellectual gets right about young men. We Who Wrestle with God by Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson's new book is titled We Who Wrestle with God. Quite what God has done to provoke this fight is not clear. Open it and two things become apparent. First, this is a friendly skirmish. The Canadian psychologist is less wrestling God than trying to understand him. He retells the big hits of the Bible, the fall, the flood, through a mixture of theology, psychology, and symbolism. Often, alas, that symbolism comes from Disney. So the story of Adam and Eve is compared to Beauty and the Beast, and Cain is likened to evil Scar in The Lion King. The overall effect is as if a Victorian vicar has been given a streaming subscription to Disney Plus and possibly some opium, then sat down to write his sermon. The second thing that becomes clear is that by far the greatest struggle here is between Mr. Peterson and his prose. Mr. Peterson has never been an easy read. Even an academic review once described one of his books as a tome. This doorstopper is little easier. Flip it open at random, and your eye will invariably light on phrases such as this one. The modern meta-Marxists, the postmodern power players, have, as it were, metastasized Marx. Got that? Good, because there are hundreds more pages where that came from. Those of you who wrestle with Jordan Peterson might wonder why you would want to fork out good money to wade through nearly 600 pages of Mr. Peterson wrestling with God. For many, the answer will be celebrity. Both sides are well known. God is God. Mr. Peterson is a contrarian who has hitherto wrestled with students over free speech. He won. Feminists over whether you can compare lobsters to men. It was a draw. And Richard Dawkins, an atheist biologist, over the reality of dragons. It was excruciating. These fights have propelled Mr. Peterson from academia to celebrity. He has been called both the world's most famous public intellectual and the stupid man's smart person. He is certainly hard to place. His most famous work, 12 Rules for Life, offers a strange mix of humdrum domesticity and existential philosophy, as if a nanny was mixed with Nietzsche and started barking orders. Stand up straight, shoulders back, consider the existential void of modernity. His mostly male fans loved it and bought over 10 million copies. Millions despise him. In 2017, academics at the University of Toronto signed an open letter to take away his tenure, in part because he objected to being required by law to use gender-neutral pronouns. He later resigned. For a time, to have an opinion on him felt both socially necessary, he came up so often, and socially dangerous. The wrong answer could bring odium. No mere man, he was a purity test personified. Like Donald Trump and Joe Rogan, an American podcaster, he is one of a group of men who, despite, or perhaps because of, being disdained by intellectual sorts, are beloved by their bro followers. The number of authors who can, as he does in this new book, use phrases like the collective metaspace of human imagination and also fill arenas with fans is tiny. Probably it totals one. Few, least of all him, saw this coming. In a sensible world, he has said, I would have got my 15 minutes of fame. That was in 2017. He is still going. On November 18th, a crowd gathered for the first night of his book tour in a village near New York City. It felt more like a concert. There was merch, Peterson posters and mugs, and a guitar warm-up act. When he came on stage in a three-piece linen suit, the crowd, by no means all young or male, whooped. The subject for this evening's sermon, he told the congregation of fans, was sacrifice. An entire Peterson industry has flourished for those willing to sacrifice their money. There is a Jordan Peterson newsletter, Mondays of Meaning, a Peterson Academy, $500 a year gets you lectures on manly things by people with beards, and a self-authoring program. People who spend time writing about themselves, it promises, become happier, less anxious and depressed. Who knew? Certainly not Ernest Hemingway or Virginia Woolf, or apparently Jordan Peterson. As he reached the climax of the evening's talk, his voice cracked. He is famous for weeping in speeches. YouTube offers a video compilation of Jordan Peterson crying. Mr. Peterson's new book is as old-fashioned as his appearance. It reads, as if it could have been written in the 1950s, says a publisher, or indeed the 1850s. It refers to sermons and Victorian biblical scholars. The reader has to wade through pages of archaisms from the King James Bible, such as liveth, heareth, beeves, an old plural of beef, and phrases like an handful of grain. The reader's beef with this is not that the King James Version lacks beauty, it does not, but when added to those metastasizing postmodernists, it is all a bit of an handful. However, to really understand Mr. Peterson, forget his books, do not look at the supply side, but instead consider the demand side, urges Richard Reeves, author of Boys and Men, a book about how the modern male struggles. In other words, look at his fans. Not long after Mr. Peterson came to prominence in 2016, with a public debate about gender-neutral pronouns, the Me Too movement started to spread. Phrases like toxic masculinity, mansplaining and manspreading were gaining ground, and there was anger at men's treatment of women. But young men also had problems. The world has long been moving to an information economy that favours brains, not brawn. Women thrived. Men, not always. In America and Britain, boys lag behind girls in primary, secondary, and university education. The appeal of Mr. Peterson, and even Mr. Trump, is really driven by a big socioeconomic shift, says Francis Fukuyama, a professor of political science at Stanford University. Discussing men's problems can prompt pushback and questions of, is there a violin small enough, according to Mr. Reeves, but not for Mr. Peterson. Boys, he wrote in 12 Rules for Life, are suffering in the modern world. After America's recent election, the consequences of all this are well known. We rolled our eyes at young men when they said, I'm suffering, said Mr. Reeves, so, of course, they went somewhere else. Mr. Trump is one beneficiary, Mr. Peterson is another, because he was offering something people needed, which, in true nanny style, was partly sympathy and partly a dose of stern advice, as he wrote in 12 Rules, toughen up, you weasel. From the stage in New York, he spoke for well over an hour about pain, death, the void, and the full existential catastrophe of life. Then he told his rapt fans how to deal with these things. Broadly speaking, it was a softer version of Toughen Up, You Weasels. His audience scurried into the November night looking absolutely delighted.